That tax cut plan that Mr. Bush sent to Congress this week could cost $1.6 trillion, about a quarter of the estimated surpluses over the next 10 years. Mr. Bush's plan calls for the tax cuts to begin in October, at the start of the next fiscal year, but some congressional Republicans want the cuts to be retroactive to this January 1st as a way to spur the slumping economy. Now, for his part, the president now says that he thinks that's a fine idea, but NPR's Snigdha Prakash reports that the last time there was a retroactive tax cut, there were some unintended consequences.
The year was 1975. The president was Gerald Ford, and the U.S. economy was in the grips of a deep recession. Energy prices were soaring, inflation was high, and layoffs were rampant. President Ford summed up the State of the Union on January 15, 1975, in two words: not good. He proposed a $12 billion cut in individual income taxes. 6 weeks later, on March 29th, he signed it into law. It was the fastest tax cut in U.S. history. The cut was retroactive. It applied to taxes the government had been collecting since the 1st of January. The government came up with two ways to get money back into the hands of taxpayers. Pete Davis was then on the staff of the Joint Committee of Taxation.
One way to do it was to literally just send a check to people in what was called a rebate, which was, for most people, between $100 and $200. And was literally sent out as a check from the IRS based on the tax you paid the year before.
That wasn't enough, though. So lawmakers decided to change the withholding allowance as well. That's the part of your income you probably don't see if you work for a company or an organization. Your employer withholds it and sends it directly to the IRS. Again, Pete Davis.
The earliest that the cut could be implemented in people's paychecks through reduced withholding was May 1. So therefore, they crammed 12 months' worth of tax cut into 8 months' worth of withholding.
So a taxpayer whose tax rate had been cut to give him or her an additional $100 a month in take-home pay actually got an additional $150 a month, because Congress didn't want to wait to give back the extra income the IRS had already withheld in the first 4 months of the year.
Given a choice between a $150 tax cut per month and a $100 tax cut per month, for the average taxpayer back then, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee thought that that was the simplest decision to make in the world. He, of course, chose the larger amount.
But that created another problem.
At the end of 1975, I went back to Mr. Allman and the Ways and Means Committee and said, okay, now we've got people with average tax cuts of $150 per month, and are we going to allow that $50 to go away, or are we going to come up with another tax cut, which again was another no-brainer decision.
Congress enacted another tax cut so the taxpayers wouldn't have to give back the extra $50 they'd gotten used to. It's a situation that could repeat itself this year if President Bush's tax cut is made retroactive. Davis and others are reminding the administration and members of Congress about what happened back in 1975. Of course, President Bush is asking for a cut that's phased in over 5 years. So even if Congress crams in a whole year's tax cut later this year, it can make up by giving less next year. One last note from the 1975 experience. Studies showed that taxpayers didn't run out and spend the tax cut right away. The government was hoping they would to boost the economy. They spent only a third in 1975. They spent the rest in 1976, when the economy had climbed out of the recession and inflation was the big worry. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.